just say I do. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to Behind the Veil, a show that provides insight into the world of weddings. Today, we're going to be talking about what is happening. I mean, honestly, what is happening out there in the world of events and weddings? Because events are back, and events are back in a huge way, and we have never seen a tidal wave of new vendors, new clients, new business like this. God, I mean, this is everything that we prayed for. But now we're having some serious labor issues when it comes to hotels filling the positions. And there is a massive flower shortage. If you have not heard about it, you're going to hear about it today and why. And you're not going to be so happy because it's not anything that's going to be resolved within the next couple of weeks. But luckily, we've got some great people on here to talk about some options and some availability and to let you know that it's not going to be forever. But we want you to know what is truly happening out there. So first up is Marcy Gutenberg with An Affair to Remember by Marcy. Hello, Marcy. How Hi. Are you?
How are you?
I'm good. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, here we are so excited about all this new business that is coming in. And yet we are all getting super frustrated at the fact that we cannot get in touch with hotels and we're not getting callbacks. Yeah, the resources are just so limiting. So that's why we wanted to do this, like, what the F is happening out there? Because, you know, there's some real things that are happening. And we just want to make sure that both our vendors and our clients out there understand what is happening and, you know, kind of a timetable of where that's going to be. Up next is Brooke Logan Stoner. Hello, Brooke.
Hello, everyone.
Loving your new background.
Thank you. Love it.
Looks amazing. All right. So our special guest today is Jill Vidal, who is the owner of Elegant Beginnings in Houston, Texas. She graduated from Texas A&M University in 1998 with a degree in marketing. Jill is a proud mother of two beautiful children. She began her career selling pharmaceuticals for Pfizer, God bless her, but realized corporate America and travel was not conducive to having and raising a close family. Coming from a family of entrepreneurs, she knew that she wanted to work in this industry and voila, started a company called Elegant Beginnings, which is now kind of the premier linen source for most events in Houston, correct?
I would hope.
Well, Jill, welcome to the show. And, you know, I'm so, so excited to have you on the show because first of all, I'm from Texas. So Texas is obviously a big part of my life. But also Houston has been facing multiple challenges, not just with the pandemic, but oh my God, you guys went through multiple hurricanes.
Yes.
Back after back. So some of the things that we're going to be talking about are going to be unique to Houston and kind of that south area because it's not just pandemic issues that are affecting you guys.
Yes, sir. And thank you guys for having me on your show. I love what you guys are doing and I love the education portion and getting our industry back involved and talking about real issues and real challenges because there are things that I did not expect to be a problem that are a problem.
Right. So it's like shocking.
Like my bad.
It is shocking. It is shocking. And yes, everybody's going, aren't you so glad? I bet your business is picked back up. Are you slammed with events? And I'm going, yes. And yes. You know, don't be an asshole. Please.
Yes, 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 exactly. So yes. Tell us a little bit about Elegant Beginnings because Beginnings, this is your baby. So tell us about, you know, all of it.
Okay, so Elegant Beginnings was started in 2001. Probably around 2010, we DBA'd EB Inc. because people kept leaving an N out of the beginnings. And sometimes when they were searching, they were misspelling. So we just, everybody put EB on everything. So we've technically, here I'll even show you in the back, we're EB. So we're your Elegant Beginning, regardless of what type of event you're having. And, you know, 20 years later, it's, you know, still rocking and rolling. When the pandemic hit, it was a tough decision to keep the doors open. And I honestly had my sew crew, who Luce is my ultimate hero, a cancer survivor. She's emigrated from Colombia legally. She's just an amazing woman. And she goes, what are you going to do? And I just had tears streaming down my face with everything canceling. and she pulled up, let's do this.
Oh, the mask. You pivoted.
Yes. And I hate that word because it's so much, but we're going to let
you
it go.
You added. Yeah, you added a service because I remember extra. And actually when you first started doing the mask, I got a bunch of them. You sent me a sparkly, which I just absolutely loved. Of course I love anything sparkly, but, and actually I gave it to Brooke. Brooke actually has this, the blue sparkly one now.
I'll send you more.
But I mean, they were my favorite masks.
I want to death. I still
Well, that was a mash.
So thank you.
It's a mash. You're so welcome. And I'll send you more. This was the time whenever you couldn't order them off Amazon. So right. We fulfilled a huge need within the healthcare industry and within schools that were trying to stay open. And then when schools reopened, I think we've logoed all the high school cheer teams.
Wow.
Just so that they could be able to be back at school and stunt and do their thing. So it I don't think anybody is really a huge fan of the masks, but it was something that kept half my team employed and our doors open. So that's what we did.
That's amazing, by the way.
FYI. Offerings. That's a great idea.
Yeah. And that is a big deal because that's one of the things that now that we're on the other side of this and there is a lot of business that is coming in, it is very easy to forget what we were dealing with at the very beginning of this,
yes.
You know, and the fact that you figured out how to add another service that was in need of it, you know, and of course, so here we are talking about kind of the same thing. We have an area of need in our industry that is not being fulfilled at the moment, right? So, yes. And I think it's a labor issue is a big piece. It's a materials issue is another big piece.
Yes.
And I think we're actually creating a perfect storm and it's just, oh my God, because now we don't have materials. We don't have employees. Right. We don't have florals. Like how are we supposed to put on events? So anyway, I'm sorry, interrupt. So you went through and you figured out how to add a service to your business and then.
Well, we had all the textiles that were sitting there and everybody, I mean, even the guys were sewing. I mean, that was the crazy thing is, you know, we had everybody, not that, you know, I mean, sewing is an art, but Luce literally taught everyone how to make these. And it was just, I cannot take credit for it at all because she's the one who came up with the prototype. And then we kept perfecting them and putting the nose guard in and then started making really cute ones like your sequin ones. And then the rest is history, and hopefully masks will be history soon too. It's not something that we definitely want to, it is not what our business model can sustain on, but at that point in time it worked. You know, I volunteer a lot and I have actually been a part of some events that have happened within the last month. And I have to honestly tell you that I wish I would have taken a video, but the same person that was planning the event and the fundraiser was the same person that checked me into the hotel, the same person that was driving the shuttle.
Yes.
Same person that was the captain, the banquet captain. I don't know.
Okay. I hope people really understood what you just said, because the person that helped you with this event was the same person that checked you into the hotel, that shuttled you to it, that helped you with the banquet captain. All the same person.
All the same person.
So in other words, the hotel has not been able to rehire a staff that is able to do all the different components. Like I'll give you a perfect example of this. We're having a major issue here, you know, and of course our hotels here in South Florida are known for having high attendance due to tourism and stuff. But my Conrad, Westin, Pelican Grand, I mean, name a hotel, the catering team or the sales team are reduced to a skeleton still, and they have multiple jobs. Like, how are you supposed to deal with this avalanche of new business if your staff are still having to pull double duty, where 2 days they're at the front desk and 2 days they're at their office and the third day they're cleaning rooms?
Yes.
Operation sales, which
all right for the all in one.
Yes. But it makes you really appreciate what other people do. I will have to say that if there's one positive element of it is my team that works within sales, they know how to pack a box truck. They know how to run linens through a press.
Yeah.
Most of them know how to sew, not well, but I mean, they
At least, at least you have the ability to fulfill and have that customer service that, you know, here in South Florida. I mean, I have a room block that I have had out. Now, contract has been signed. First of all, it took me 3 weeks to get a signed contract, which is unbelievable. And then it's been another 2 weeks and I still haven't gotten a link to the room block. And I'm like, I'm having a little bit of a heart attack because this is not just one hotel. This is every hotel. Every single hotel here in South Florida is all having the same issue. And and all I can say to the hotel owners is get off your ass and start hiring because you're pissing us off. I mean, seriously.
Or
I mean,
pick up the phone and say yes, hello, and help.
Well, no, I mean, it's not the staff's fault. I mean,
not, it is the owners,
right? It's the ownership, and they reduced people's. I'm getting on a little bit of soapbox here, and they reduced people's salaries and said, "Look, if you still want to have your job, your $90,000 salary is now $70,000 salary, and you're going to have to do front desk, and you have to clean rooms."
Yes,
I mean, first of all, you put people in an impossible situation at the beginning of COVID. I understand no business, et cetera, et cetera. But now we're on the other end of this, and things are really picking up. Stop being such a cheap ass. Right? Stop being such a cheap ass. Get out there and start getting the bonuses and start really understanding that you right now is the time to get the best talent that is out there because they want to work. They want to work.
And if they don't put their, you know, their all into it, they're not going to get their all out of it.
Exactly. And that's what, you know, and I understand that, you know, right now, so Peter Ritchie over at FAU. So he is one of our local heroes. He's an associate professor over at the university. And they just put out a study talking about the fact that 80% of the people that were in our industry at the beginning of COVID are no longer in our industry. Right. They got out of it to find other jobs. And so now, we're really, you know, we've lost a huge amount of just talent in our world.
Didn't we always think that, okay, our businesses are virtually recession proof? Did we all not say that? Everybody's going to have events.
Yep.
We may be mm-hmm. seasonal. It could be different, but I've always been told, oh my God, you're in a recession proof business. There's always going to be something happening.
Right.
And that this knocked everybody for a loop. And I think that people continued to keep people on the payroll when times were tough and probably should have, I don't know, maybe minimized a little bit. I think we all kept thinking, okay, one more month. And then all of a sudden, okay, I got to pay rent. I got to pay taxes. I've got to repair machines. Right. And you almost go into a little bit of a panic mode. I think hotels probably have a little bit of a bigger budget corporate wise, but I've even seen hotels contract out catering companies to fulfill their events. Wow. That's still at least something. I mean,
it's a move in the right direction.
Yes.
You know,
can you believe that? I thought only Indian caterers, you know, I thought that's the only time that, or a kosher kitchen
that
was ever allowed. I've never seen, you know, actual catering companies move into a hotel just to produce a regular event.
Well,
it's smart. I mean,
that honestly, to be honestly, if that's what it takes in order to fulfill the business, then God, you know, God bless them for doing that.
God bless them in the interim. I don't think anybody really wants to continue within that path, but
at least they put some effort into it and did something versus absolutely nothing.
But I think we're in a situation that the hospitality industry has to catch up. You know, it is time to get on your feet and catch up because we could really lose our business long term if we don't really put our best foot forward now. Because what's going to happen is that this amazing overbooked moment in our life, because every hotel down here has every date booked through 2022. You know, trying to find a venue is next to impossible if it's of any real value. I mean, every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is just booked, but that's not forever. And so if you think that, you know, oh, I can give less than great service and still get the money, you're short-sighted.
Yeah.
That is not something that is going to be attainable long-term for our industry here in South Florida.
That's but agreed. Don't be greedy, pigs get slaughtered.
Not only that, the resources. I mean, the resources are not going to be there because they're going to go out of business.
Yeah.
because they don't feel that they're getting what they need on the other end.
Well, okay. So now that we've talked about the fact that there is basically right now a massive shortage on the employee side, and that, yes, you know, I don't feel like the hotels are doing enough to draw in talent. And of course, then they have to go through the whole training program, 30 days, yada, yada.
Onboarding, right.
Yeah, the whole onboarding process. So, you know, it is going to take.
And if everything is getting cut down, I'm sure that training is probably 4 days out of 30 or something.
Right. I mean, but, you know,
actually doing the training.
Well, but, you know, you have this big mill that is just rolling. And all of a sudden it comes to a halt. It takes a lot of effort, but the effort has to be made. So when you're in Texas, right, and you're down in Houston, here you are with multiple hurricanes, boom, boom, boom.
Yep.
Then COVID. I mean, has it? Because here, I mean, it's been heartbreaking to see businesses close, you know, and not only just close, but the loss of revenue, the loss of money to clients, the loss of, you know, the anticipated experience. I mean, that's all been a really rough time for everybody. But here, you've been like bitch slapped by Mother Nature.
Twice.
I mean, exactly. You know, so, I mean, right? Has it been even more difficult to do events, or do you feel like the community as a whole is rallying better because they've already been through this a couple of times?
A few times, yes. And, you know, Houston's a very unique and diverse community, period. I think that we're extremely resilient. We go through a multitude of things that you just, they're not even heard of. I mean, they're so bizarre.
Right.
So when you have clubs and venues that have flooded, you know, as soon as they're finished repairing, the next wave of flood comes in, you just know that, you know what, things are going to change. Things are going to change drastically, and you work better together when you're resilient.
Right.
So I think in some cases it has better prepared a lot of us. There are some people that I think it pushed the patience, and they just said, I'm thrown in the towel, I'm done, I'm not doing it anymore. It does bring you down a bit because you're just going, oh my God, we just freaking fixed everything.
Right.
And then something else happens.
Well, and I think maybe it helped your industry overall because the people down in that area were already used to having to do multiple jobs.
Yes.
Because, you know, anytime that you come through a hurricane and you come out the other end, you know, people are, you know, cleaning up, they're straightening, they're, you know, fixing things while trying to also provide customer service. So maybe, yes, you know, there was already that mindset that kind of set in and said, we will survive this too. And when we come out of it, we're going to have to be doing multiple jobs. So, yes, all right.
And when your whole city is underwater, I mean, there aren't any events happening.
Right.
So while everything is being repaired, you're able to concentrate your efforts on rebuilding homes.
Oh, by the way, except that big ass church you have downtown, by the way, whatever his name is, that $40,000, you know, 40,000 person church. He was still doing services on Sunday when everything's underwater, but he couldn't open his door for the homeless. Damn him.
Might have been the only one. Yes.
Yep, just FYI.
Oh my gosh.
It's giving me a little mermaid vibes. I'm going to say.
But
never forget about that one. No, that's very, very true.
Don't piss Jesus off, Keith.
No, I know. Yeah. I totally forgot about that.
But you know, I mean, if your whole city's underwater and then you're trying to do events, I mean, and then you come out of it, the people that are booking these events must already feel aware of the fact that things happen and the dates may have to change.
They're still not very patient, to be honest. So we still have Harvey brides
that have been scheduled
that have now been rescheduled because of COVID to be rescheduled and pissed off that their linens are rented out.
Wow.
And we're going, okay, let's figure out how to get more material in.
Right.
Because I'm like you, I'm going to spend the money and I want smiles on people's faces.
Yeah.
I feel like they deserve it just as much as we deserve to be in business. They deserve to have their event. They
right.
have down deposits. They've contracted services out. They're not to blame. I almost hope that just with, you know, in our situation in Houston,
mm-hmm.
People are for the most part patient and graceful. I think it's something that we can do better as professional educators to let people know that if someone hasn't responded to your email, don't panic. It's, you know, they might be shuttling somebody to the airport. Or they might be, you know,
being a banker captain. Yeah, cleaning toilets.
You know, sometimes that happens. If, you know, if one of my, you know, I have a tent partner who has just done some great things, and he allowed us an opportunity to keep a tent up so that all of the school banquets could actually happen, because the district, the school district said it only events can happen if they're outside. So no sport, wow. No teams, no sport teams, no organizations were going to be allowed to celebrate. And these were in my area, these were the kids that went through Harvey and had to go to a whole different high school and finish up at 9 o'clock at night.
Right.
They split the high school into two sessions. So these are these seniors, and you know, it's not even about making money. It's about, oh my God, you need to have prom. You need to have your sport banquet. You need to celebrate.
Well, and I find it. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's just it's more about you need that. I don't know.
Well, you need that. You need the reason to celebrate. There's got, you know, I mean,
life get out of can't, the house.
Sure. Yeah, you know. Anything. Yeah, just right. Anything to. To look forward to. Well, you know, and what I found fascinating is that our business actually in Florida has increased dramatically due to our governor, you know, not being as restrictive on the mask mandate, which I think was both a positive and a negative. I mean, there are both sides to this argument, which we're not gonna, you know, not on this program. But I feel like Texas was very much in the same kind of world as far as, you know, the governor really wanting to keep things open for businesses. And so are you seeing people coming in from other parts of the country down to Texas because their mandates are still too restrictive and but they still want to do their event?
Yes.
Isn't that nice? I mean, I know that I shouldn't be like, yay, but I am, because I'm like, awesome. That means, you know, they allowed people to make their own personal choice. Again, yes. Neither here nor there, but it's driving business to us.
Absolutely. I think that the South is prospering more so than ever. Florida, Texas, Georgia. I mean, just the whole southern part of the belt is capturing a lot of this market. And we've had a lot of venues actually pop up because the event industry was growing, and because Houston's its huge ass city anyway, but
it
there
really is.
In the suburbs, I mean, it's massive. And so there've been some beautiful, you know, Iron Manor, Big Sky Barn. There's just been some beautiful venues that have opened, and luckily, I mean, they're all doing a lot of work, and they're so happy about it, which is great.
What I find fascinating about Houston, though, is that there's no real building city codes. So there's no zoning. So you could have like literally a little farmhouse, and then right next to it have a high rise, and then right next to that have a barn that's a venue. Yes. I mean, it is the craziest place.
Only Houston.
Only Houston. I mean, you turn a corner and all of
that airspace, honey.
Seriously, it is the craziest, and but it also makes you think, because sometimes people are like, oh, well, let's go to this restaurant, and it'll be deep in the middle of a
swamp.
No. housing district. So, you know, it'll look like just your local neighborhood, and then all of a sudden there's a restaurant right there in the middle of all of it. So, you know, that's one thing I've always loved about Houston.
I love that about Houston. I mean, there is no zoning. There is
it's awesome.
Color outside the lines, and that's one thing that makes this city and this community so resilient. And I know that things will end up working out and straightening out with communication. So shows like what you guys are doing right now, putting this platform out there and letting people know, is hugely important.
Well, in our world and that's the thing, is people need to be patient. Unless your wedding is happening in the next 60 to 90 days, take a step back.
Yeah,
because we will get your event done. It'll happen. I guarantee it. Especially if your wedding's like next January, February, March, take a breath. You know, there's going to be enough vendors out
January,
there.
January, take two.
Right? Exactly. Yes. You know, because we really need to focus on those weddings that are happening over in the next 60 or 90 days. Because one of the other things that we're talking about during this show is the massive floral shortage that is global. And we talked about this before we went online. I'm like, I'm shocked that it's not being covered by any of the news agencies. You don't hear about this. And so what happens? You have all these brides that are like, well, why can't I have, you know, that whose wedding is next week or 2 weeks from now? Well, why can't I have the flowers that I originally wanted? Well, because there are none. What do you mean there are none? Well, COVID shut down everything. And that also meant floral farms all over the world. And so you have about 6 months of growing time that has to happen before the floral market starts recovering. So now flowers are costing a buttload. And I know many florists that barely survived COVID that are now going, I have to ask my client for more money because my original proposal, it'll cost me money to do this event now.
Yes.
I mean, are you seeing the same thing?
I'm seeing the same thing. And you know what? I am not a proponent of silks. God, I'm sorry.
I'm right there with you.
You can't tell if you mix it in with the live, and it's about being innovative, honestly.
And that's the thing is that we have to be right now.
More flexible.
Yes, we have to be flexible and add a bunch of drape. Look, I mean, you can do it on. So, yeah. I mean, put some floral in there and make it happen. Yes, for the next few months, we're not going to have our usual.
Well, and of course,
we're going to be mad at you if you soaked a little bit.
Well, and exactly. Well, and here in South Florida, actually, we're the kind of the entry point for all florals that come into the country. So we're so used to having access to the best and most stunning stuff. And so to all of a sudden have to go to our clients and say, okay, you remember that orchid that you really love that only grows once a year on top of a volcano?
They're in my backyard. They'll be right next to me.
Exactly.
You're in the wrong business. Yeah. We should be orchid farmers.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, it's not going to happen. So, you know, the thing is like, let me give it up to, I'll do a little shout out to Nicole Sellers at CLE Events and Tyler Black at Cachet Events. They've really come up with unique ways of doing centerpieces that don't use florals at all. Like, awesome. Yeah, they're coming up with a whole brand new kind of concept of what a centerpiece actually means, because we're also used to the ice cream cone, you know, trumpet vase, big ball of white flowers, things draping off of it. And that, you know, you don't have to do the ice cream cone at every single wedding. You can have some imagination and be unique. I mean, we recently talked about the fact that we had somebody that really loved books. They were, I think they were either an author or a librarian. And so their centerpieces were actually open books where the pages were literally pulled up and then glued into place. So it created these,
awesome.
I mean, they were stunning. Now there are plenty of books because God knows we're not reading in America. So we've got plenty of books sitting out there, but you know, but that's what I'm saying is utilize the resources that are available. But
right.
If you don't know it's an issue, how are you supposed to deal with that? You know, I mean, it's all the event professionals here are understanding there's a massive flower shortage. But then when you say that to your bride, they're like, well, we haven't heard anything.
Why? We were kind of able to blame a little bit, not blame, but explain that, you know, we had a massive freeze. So, I mean, anything within Texas, I mean, for the most part was frozen. For several days. So it did kill. I mean, I know that's what I'm telling you. Houston goes through bizarre shit.
I know, right? Like not only was there a COVID, but then even if you wanted to plant the fields, it froze.
Yeah.
So everything died.
Everything died. My whole herb garden gone.
My forehead.
Oh my God. I mean, that's like a double whammy. It's like hurricane, pandemic, freeze.
Yep.
You know,
zombie apocalypse.
I'm starting to think that Texas may be on God's shit list. I don't know. There's something. I'm starting to like.
The Lone Star State.
You know, the Lone Star State.
Problems?
Oh, my God. I mean, but that makes it even harder for your event professionals to really guide your clients in the right way to make sure that they have the best event as possible. And I, you know, you're a member of NACE. I mean, we're all members of NACE. I mean, and so I know that the One Awards are coming up. And some of the most beautiful events for the awards ceremonies have come from Houston. So you guys do spectacular stuff. I mean, there is, like, I don't know, almost a competition between your event professionals about who's going to one-up each other about, like, what's the next greatest over-the-top amazing thing. I mean, I saw one where there were storm clouds built into the, and it was like thundering and lightning and all. I mean, and it looked just like a crazy light. I mean, it looked amazing.
That was actually probably a storm.
No, you're like, oh, that was a glass ceiling. That was an actual storm up there.
Yes.
Right.
That's but I mean, when you use a clear tent. No, you're, I mean, it is, everybody just wants to push each other. In our world, that, you know, they want to push the envelope, and everyone is, I mean, everybody calls each other for different things. I mean, we're a really unique community. If I don't have something, I'm calling a competitor. They're calling me. We take care of each other in Houston because that's what we've been through so much. That's just what we do. So
I feel like South Florida and Houston are very similar because we do the same thing because we've been through multiple hurricanes, had, you know, multiple issues. And of course with COVID, but you know,
we all have give you that shift that from assholes can kind of be nice to. It's very bad.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. If we could, we need to transplant.
Yeah. But you know, I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Exactly. It's like, you know, here we are in the southern counties that are getting most of the business and we've been through so much. So we're used to working as a team. But if you don't have any team members that are still available, then what do you do? Or if your hotels have not started rehiring, I'm going to harp on that again. If your hotels have not started rehiring, Mr. Marriott, do you hear me? Just start rehiring, for God's sakes.
Yes.
You know, because the other thing is that I've looked and I don't see listings for positions out there.
Yeah,
right.
Very, very scarce.
I haven't seen listings from Peter Ritchie from FIU or FIU. I haven't seen anything on Glassdoor. If you don't see these listings for job opportunities out there, then they're not doing it. And so
and apparently Keith is pissed.
Well, I am. Because the thing is that at the end of the day, there's only so much I can do. As much as I love my hotel, my hotel people being from the hotel industry, I also understand what they're having to go through. You know, it is not fair for me to harp on them about getting a contract when there's just no time, you know, and they're not getting paid for overtime because they're salaried. So, you know, once they hit that 50, 60 hour mark, which is pretty much anticipated when you're in the hotel business and salaried, they're done. You know, they could easily work 100 hours a week, but they're not going to get any additional funding from the hotel. The hotel's not going to pay them more money. So, you know,
are they trying to bring people back in that, I mean, I have two friends of mine from the Marriott Woodlands Waterway that start June 1st. So
that's amazing. I mean, that's 6 days. Awesome.
Yep. 6 days. And that's, you know, they're going to be handling sales and half sales, half banquets. But I feel like, you know, the time is turning now where people are just being added slowly but surely, because I mean, who would have thought that, you know, things would just open up almost overnight?
Right.
You know,
okay. That is the other part. But, you know, one of the bad things that we have here in South Florida, obviously, we're going into officially off season, but
that's what you think.
We don't have an off season this year. So, you know,
my checking account is not mad at that. I promise.
Because well-seasoned employees who have been there over the years for these people are going to wind up jumping ship and going into a totally different profession. And when they need them to hire them back, they're not going to be there and they're not going to have that support that they're going to need to take in those thousands of dollar pieces of business.
Yeah. I mean, and think about all the loyalties and connections that we've made over the years with individuals that are no longer there. So we have to build all new relationships. And so, you know, that sales process is not cut and dry. I mean, I love when people say, oh, we have a $50,000 minimum and that's it. And I'm like, yeah, you're not good. You got to really know, you know, the ins and outs of what that the business will support. You know, it's great to have your parameters, but I guararantee you the most successful salespeople out there have a really good idea about how to give and take and, you know, who brings in business and who doesn't. And that's not something that you can learn in a short amount of time. And I just think
I agree. And do you think there might be a loyalty, not necessarily, I don't want to call it loyalty because I know dogs are loyal, always learn that sales. But do you think that maybe it's because some people were furloughed and let go, that they're reluctant to go back to that same place. I mean, the same hotel, the same venue. Maybe they're stretching and moving somewhere else.
100%.
They were appreciated or.
Well, we all know.
It is what it is, but.
Well, okay. So let me give you my personal experience about hotels. The only reason I got a raise is because I left the hotel and went to another hotel. The only reason I got a raise at the next hotel is because I left that hotel and went to another hotel. I find that sad on so many levels because you really need to honor and award the people that are doing you a good job in your own hotel. Don't let your Conrad, you know, director of catering or your Westin or your Ritz-Carlton DOC go to another, you know, 4 or 5 star hotel because they're going to give them another $10,000 or $15,000. Give them that raise. Keep people in house. Yes. Oh my God. I don't understand, you know, why there's not a loyalty built into the employee side of it. They expect the employees to be loyal to the brand, but the brand doesn't have to be loyal to the employee.
Right.
That part.
Come on.
I think there might be. I really have seen that, and talking to some of my colleagues and some of the professionals. I just, you know, I would have been happy painting stripes in the parking lot if you would have kept me.
Yeah.
Don't even pay me, but just keep me on board. You know, pay the benefits because a lot of people didn't have healthcare insurance and. It's hard whenever all of a sudden you haven't.
Well, and I think that's what happened. I think COVID kind of ripped that Band-Aid off because most employees believed that their hotel, their brand would protect them in times of need.
Yep.
And then they didn't. Or there was a million different things that I feel like hotels could have done in one way or another. And honestly, PPP loans, emergency loans, all the money that was coming from the federal government, you know, I understand that they have, you know, that the board, the hotel boards and all that have a mission to their investors to bring in profit regardless.
Right.
But you're not going to be able to sustain long-term profits if you don't protect your employees. And again, we're in a really bad place right now because of this. And I talk about this perfect storm, flower shortage, employee shortage, talent shortage. Then you have hotels not bringing people back. And something has to change quickly.
Yes. You know, I think that they are striving to do that. It's just taking longer than probably small businesses. I think they're adapting, and I'm confident whenever I have people that are texting me going, I'm going back to work. Yes. Yes. You know, I know it's coming. It's just probably, you know, again, we want things done yesterday.
And, oh my God. Well, and of course small businesses are easier. We you know, obviously we adapt quickly because we're a small business. I mean, our life is
hire some interns. I mean, right? I've got interns.
I have an intern.
Yay!
I'm so excited.
They're not looking to make, you know, a huge chunk of change. They're probably living at home.
They need the experience.
They need the experience. So let's get them prepared. And because that's our future. We all know that at the end of the day. Exactly. And I think it's really important right now. This is the time for them to be coming on board and learning. And they're graduating from they're graduating and going into an industry that WTF.
Right.
Just like you said.
Exactly. You know, and it is, and to be honest, this is a really, right? I feel like, I do feel like this is an awakening to our whole industry at large. This is a real awakening to everybody that, you know, that as small business owners, we bear the brunt of the expectations from our clients. And, you know, I think the very first thing that is going to have to happen as event planners and as small businesses, we're not going to be able to sugarcoat stuff at all. We're going to just say, look, this is what's happening. And it's not an excuse. It's reality. And we're going to walk you through this. We're going to make sure that you're taken care of. But, you know, the timeline that you're used to being able to do stuff a year out is no longer available on all things. You know, so some things it'll be sooner, other things it'll be later, but, you know, try to trust your event professional. I mean, Marzi.
It means shifting things around because like for me, for invitations,
right.
There's areas where, I mean, I haven't personally encountered it, but I've got people, I'm on certain groups that I get with where colleagues are not able to get their resources because they're not able to get the ships in and unload them. So you know, I mean, you can shift your workability of what you might want to work with, maybe your event planner, wedding planner. Maybe you do your invitations earlier. Maybe you do some of the other legwork ahead of time,
right,
so that you can kind of tap those and get the ball rolling.
See, that's another part that we didn't even talk about, because there was nobody to unload ships.
Right.
Right.
So you've got all of this backup that's happening. And so it's just going to take a while to get this wheel moving forward again. And I think that, you know, obviously right now, small businesses are bearing the brunt of it again. Yeah. And, you know, the large businnesses need to start getting on board and start making.
If we have our shit together and there's just two of us and
let's just start our own little island.
Going on here.
Right? No, but you know, I mean, the other thing is that I don't think hotels were really built on the idea of quick change when it comes to changing their policies and what they do, because they're used to working long term. I mean, this is the first time COVID has shut down everything in the world. And so it's a learning experience. And I really hope that people, and I'm talking about hotels and I'm talking about that kind of industry, I hope that they take this lesson and they figure out some, you know, other plans about, you know, how do you protect your employees? How do you, you know, because, and if you're out there and you're looking for a job, you might want to start thinking about putting this into your employee contract about what happens if this happens again. Like, you need to build in, just like you build in bonus plans and you build in vacation days. Maybe this is something that's going to be in.
Maybe that's, and that could be a huge benefit, a huge benefit.
Well, think about that. I mean, when I first started with a couple of hotels, I mean, people used to say, well, you're not going to get a vacation day your first year. And I'm like, well, that's BS. You can always, you know, that's part of your negotiation. FYI, if you're negotiating, you can negotiate vacation days, because, you know, instead of a bonus, then they give you vacation days, take the vacation days.
I think this point, the clerk just is like, in case someone like leaks a deadly virus from a lab.
Well, and that's I'm going to bring up a huge major point, which is what I think probably one of the biggest challenges, seeing big corporations, you're going to see this with the cruise lines, is that insurance didn't cover this as a catastrophic event. We pay huge premiums. And I can only imagine what Hilton or Marriott pays in insurance premiums.
Right.
And this was something that was not allowed to be covered.
Really?
You know, yes.
I didn't know that.
Not a catastrophic.
How is this not catastrophic? I don't get that.
Because it's not named in there. It's not an act of God.
That's kind of like the devil maybe do it kind of a situation.
Yes.
Right.
So, I mean,
why do you think that, this is a question that my father raised to me. He goes, you know what, did you see how stores let people, you know, during the rioting up north, they would just let people come into the Nike store and just, you know what, steal all you want, because they can
take the pink ones. Who cares? No one's wearing them.
They can file a theft case on their insurance. They couldn't file no business from COVID.
Exactly.
So kind of makes me go and maybe that's the reason. And maybe that's what they're renegotiating.
Foundation. I guarantee you that hotels are going to put that into their insurance now. Just saying.
I know I have.
You know what I mean?
They'll put in our new force majeure where we have, you know, information about what happens in a pandemic.
Yes.
Keeping your assistant drunk for your work too. It's cheaper.
Oh my God, buddy. Well, you know, I hear and so that, right. So that I know the whole show has been like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Let me at least put on a positive spin towards the end of this, is that the people that are left in our industry are very, very passionate about it.
Yes.
If you were at all wishy-washy about being in this industry,
you've already weeded out. You're already weeded out.
Honey. Right? Exactly.
You're in Texas right now.
So yes, somebody
put a, have to be a die-harder.
Exactly. So somebody put a big coffee filter on the world of industry, and what you got left is purebreds, honey. Yes. You know, the people
grounds
that are left.
Decaf, boom. Grounds and decaf.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. The people that have their jobs back are there. They're doing everything, but I do think it will come back. It's just probably not on our time frame. And I'm excited. When I talk to Adam Rainier, I talk to Gary Bellman, Lisa Hopkins, they're working. They're instituting plans to make this, you know, a better shift for people coming into into their world, into their banquet world, and and booking events. So I think that they've used this opportunity to improve how they're going about onboarding and handling work-life balance, and they're putting in a lot of really good plans.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, if anything, it shook loose. Yeah, it shook loose the ones that aren't really into the industry, into the hospitality industry, and what is left is a very concentrated, hardcore, you know, we're here to do this job and to make you happy kind of thing. Yep. And so, you know, if anything, it made sure that who's left really wants to be here and is going to do everything they can to make your day special. And I think that you know, and I feel like, you know, at the end of all of this, in 6 months' time, what we're going to see is a much better event world. It's just growing pains right now are hardcore. You know, hardcore. All right. Thank you, Jill, so much for having me. So I don't know. I don't know if I told you this, but usually we go to a quick commercial break, and then afterwards we do a little thing called Behind the Veil, where we get to talk about anything. I hope you stay on.
Yes, I would love to. Oh,
perfect. All right. So
I would love to.
Oh, I love it. So yeah, this is where she goes to be. All right. So quick word from our sponsor, and we'll be back in 30 seconds.
I, Ava, wonder if our guests would be here on time.
If we had a custom wedding website
with our ceremony details on it.
And I, Taylor, would pick Zola to have and to host our wedding website.
Ours even matched our Zola invites. The whole thing was so freaking easy.
Do you think Zola could have made planning your perfect wedding easier?
We do.
I do.
We've helped a million couples plan their weddings with free websites, registry, and invitations. Get started for free at Zola.com.
I love that commercial. I just love that commercial.
Awesome.
I know. I just love that commercial.
I love that commercial too.
It just makes me super happy. You know, so what I was going to actually talk about, like after we came back, is that congratulations to the show because we won a Telly Award. Holy shit. Whoops. Anyway, so I don't know.
Congratulations.
I know. I'm so proud
of y'all.
It's just crazy. You know, the thing is that when we started the show and, you know, Marcy's been here since the beginning, we started it as a Zoom call. Like it was just us and a couple of other event planners getting on and talking, getting questions from brides because everybody was freaking out at the beginning, you know, about like, what do I do about my hotel? What do I do about changing my date? What about, blah, blah, blah. And so it's just grown naturally over the last year and a half. And I mean, every Tuesday we do something different. Holy moly.
Like, that's innovative.
Every Tuesday it's somebody new. So, you know, it's just been such a fun thing. And I've gotten to speak to people that I would have never gotten to speak to before. I mean, we've had some of the coolest, I mean, Sandy Hammer from All Seated is like literally one of she is awesome. But she was one of my favorite interviews just because what she was like, her mind was crazy.
Oh, her brain is amazing.
Oh,
you did a beautiful.
Are we talking about Sandy?
Yeah, Sandy and David Sandy's Caruso. Awesome. Oh my God, David Caruso.
David's amazing.
He was fun.
He was fun. So you know, I mean, over the last year and a half, we got to speak to people that we would have never spoken to or had access to ever. And I just find that, first of all, fascinating that they say jazz. Thank you, God. You know, but, well, I should say thank you.
No, sorry.
Right.
No, but, you know, awesome, but our guests kind of helped make this, you know what I'm saying?
Well, and obviously we wouldn't have the guests that we do if it weren't for, by the way, Megan Ely at OFD Consulting. I just want to do a little shout out to her because she...
Megan's awesome.
I mean, if they were giving out awards for humanitarianism, you know, during COVID, Megan would be on the top of my list, you know, because she
provided, I would pretty much throw a bride and the alligator alley for her.
Right. I mean, seriously, because she provided all those speakers for free for everybody across the country. Mm-hmm. So all of these chapters that we're trying to help all these businesses, she has all these experts and said, no, you're going to use them for free.
So you're a tripper,
you know?
Yep.
It's incredible. And the nice thing is I think that us in this event industry got to see really the best part of humanity, you know, where maybe not other areas so much, but I feel like, you know, we got to.
Absolutely.
So what are you most proud of, Jill, over the last year? What is the one, you know, what's a couple of, if you got to brag on yourself a little bit, what would you brag on? You know, cause I want you to brag on yourself a little.
Humanitarian
No, just in general. Life? Just in general.
Okay, so business, I would probably Ashley talked me into agreeing to do the Married at First Sight.
Yes.
So, which will be, I don't know what I'm allowed to say. I'm probably not allowed to say that, but I think it airs this summer, but it's the 13th season.
Yes. Yes.
Which was really, really interesting.
So, and who'd you get married to?
No. She can't. I'll tell you.
I'm just totally kidding. I'm totally kidding.
It was funny. It was funny because we just did, we did lots of different wedding setups.
Yeah.
And people had never seen each other or met and were getting married. It was crazy.
That's the coolest.
It was just cool to see that. And
probably crazy as shit.
Right?
Yes. I'm sorry. No, I'm not.
I mean, some of those
definitely
people.
Tune in because there's some drama. It's fun to watch.
I'm going to
know.
So did you get to be there while they were filming? Like, were you there while they were filming?
My team did. And they sent, of course, some videos that I've had to just put into a private album because obviously we have to wait for it to air and it's in the can. But that's coming out this summer, and just their personal stories, which they're not allowed to speak on because they take, confidentiality seriously. And it was a huge endeavor.
NDAs, honey.
Yes. That's just how it is. But that I'm really, really proud of that moment because when you guys watch it, you can see some major creativity between Houston and Dallas, Dream Bouquet, Rebecca, again,
That is so cool.
We'll have to do a little watch party, Keith.
Oh my God. Yes.
I will keep you posted.
Oh, please, because we would love to know when they aired it. I mean, because I know, because I've been on four weddings four times and won four times, FYI. So they actually stopped allowing people to use me. Seriously.
We did a couple of platinum wedding episodes. We did a few Bridezilla episodes.
Oh, see, I refused to do Bridezilla. They wanted me to do Bridezillas. I said, absolutely not. That's not happening.
We did a stripper's wedding, I think. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, I love that. Well,
an NFL player, and that was back in maybe 2005 or six. But I don't, it had been a long time since we had been a part of something bigger like that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So it challenged the team. And then, of course, things started happening. We were going, okay, what did we sign up for? What were we thinking? I'm super proud of my kids. I do have to brag on them because they are just very supportive. They will go and tear down events. They have been tearing down events.
Child labor laws. What child labor laws? Yes. Free labor.
They won't file a claim on me. So anyway.
You want to be fed tonight? Go break that down.
Exactly. You want to stay in cheer? You want to stay in cheerleading? Well, you better help mama.
That's fine.
But they've, they've kind of grown to be very hospitable and just service oriented. So I'm really proud of my kids.
Nice. I mean, when you're around this kind of industry, it's very difficult for it not to rub off on your offspring. We're around kids all the time. I mean, Jay Morgan, unfortunately, her business went out of business, but her two girls, I've basically watched grow up from the age of five until their teenage years, and they're just lovely adults. They're just lovely, lovely, lovely people because of they've been of service, so to speak, to so many people. It's like, you don't hire people that haven't been a waiter before. If you haven't depended on somebody and on yourself.
That's exactly right. To make your money. She's working at a restaurant right now too. And she's starting to learn the value of money.
Yep.
She's going to be a senior. Really proud of her, proud of Jack, just because he's a gentleman and he's 12. But I love my kids, but I like them. And I think that's not something every parent can say.
I love that because, most parents won't even, they're not going to admit that. They're like, my kids are assholes. I love them, but they're assholes.
I do have to really brag on them. And I've got to go back to my EB team. They make everything possible. They answer the phone. They deal with emergencies. They've taken on a lot of people, a lot of venues, laundry, because a lot of the laundry services have gone out of business or have not continued their route. So we've kind of taken that on too. Doing a lot of stuff, making some things in the healthcare industry just to be of better service. And I don't know. And I love, of course, my NACE volunteer job. My other day job is NACE. And
so what is your position at NACE actually? For the local chapter.
Which one?
I know, right? I know. No, seriously. I like...
They call me, they nickname me the IPP for life.
Oh,
because
no.
I seem to be
immediate past president forever. Immediate past president for life. That's funny.
Yes. And I have a beautiful board. I'm also a CLC mentor, which is why I, you know, often nag you and go, hey, did you get your
report? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And usually it's like, no, let me go do that now. Yeah. You know,
I don't but
you
know what any of this means. Well, I'm
here for it. Well, so, you know, NACE is the National Association of Catering and Events.
I know what NACE is, Keith.
Okay. Just have well, no, and I'm actually saying it to people that may be watching that might not know. And there's chapters all over the country. And so I'm currently the president of our local South Florida chapter.
Yay! Which is amazing.
Yeah, by the way, last year. Okay.
And Marcy's your IPP.
She's
my IPP. I'm just riding both of my tails.
Brooke, we're recruiting you tomorrow.
Right. But, you know, and I'm so excited because this year we're going to get to go to Las Vegas for Experience Conference, which was supposed to be last year.
Don't do that.
Well, and what I find amazing is that they're going to combine the two awards because, I mean, no offense, but the awards night was kind of a long night anyway. And now they're going to put two of them together. I'm like, yeah. You know, I barely made it through the last one. I mean, I think I left right after the awards.
I think they have increased the beverage portion of that too. So that.
Keith, I have a big purse.
Well, plus it's in Las Vegas, so it's going to be a lot of fun. You know,
it's
going to be fun. Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I've got a few I can float a slot machine on the top of there. So we're going to be good.
And the other thing is getting to see all of these amazing educators that have been helping out throughout the year all come together, and you know, and this is going to be really the first opportunity that all of us get to really speak one-on-one about what our industries went through, because you know what Vermont went through and what Utah went through is very different than what you and I went through.
Right.
I mean, I don't even know what Utah went through, honestly, because I mean, because it's just a whole different world up there. And so I'll be really fascinated to hear how these businesses survived and what is going on to get a better, kind of more well-rounded approach to the event industry in general.
I will say I sit on the committee, the National Committee for Education.
Yeah.
The education is going to be phenomenal.
Well, it always is. I mean, actually, that's how I became a fan of David Caruso, because he was an educator. And that was the same thing for Megan Ealy, because she was an educator. And I mean, and that's what I'm also, if you're listening and this is going to be your first NACE conference, do not be afraid to wait after the whatever session you go to and talk to the speaker.
Right.
It's one of the rarest kind of events like this where you get to actually go up and speak one-on-one to the person and ask those questions, especially if you're a new business.
Absolutely. Are you guys booking Brooke? She should be a speaker. I'm not kidding.
Look at you, Brooke.
She's got the gift.
She's totally into this. She's like, you're my new best friend.
Awesome.
No, but seriously.
I think it's the personality that's most of it, but I really probably could sell you a ketchup popsicle with white gloves on and you would buy it. I do have that talent if I need to use it.
True.
And maybe they need sales speakers.
It's really true. And actually, it's really funny. It's like, you know, everybody... no matter where we go, whatever wedding we do, one thing I will say about Brooke consistently goes and says thank you to every single service person in whoever helped. I mean, like the chef, the servers, the banquet team, the people that emptied the trash, the front desk. She goes around and says thank you to everybody at the end of the night, which is not easy to do when it's like you've been on your feet for 15 hours. But she makes it a point every single time. And I guarantee you it has made a massive difference when we go back to hotels.
Oh, just this last Pelican Grand. And I was late for work for the very first time ever.
But that wasn't totally your fault.
And they came up to me, a 9 within 45 minutes of me arriving.
Oh, yeah. No, everybody's like, you know, you can almost see people's shoulders drop a little bit when they like, oh, OK, wait, we don't have to worry about this team as much, you know, because they're not going to break the rules. And I think that's a big plus. And so, yeah. So
we're doing something right.
Yeah, right. I'm bragging on you, Brooke. I'm bragging on you. I mean,
you always do. Thank you so much.
Well, if you just think about it, and if you attract more bees with honey, I mean, if you go in there and you're a complete, yes, and you're mean to people, and how come you haven't moved this, and how come you haven't done that? And we've all been treated that way. We wouldn't dare treat anybody else that way.
Well,
and unless you're still $500.
Gracious. Yeah, well. I think.
Well, no, but I mean, we've all been, especially since I was on the hotel side of it. I mean, I can't even tell you how many event planners I had come in, try to move tables 2 minutes before we open and expect it to be flawless. And it's like, right. That's poor planning on your side.
Yes.
That is poor planning on your side. Great logistics make a great event. And
those 5 Ps, there were not one or two of them done.
Right. But don't let your bride run you over. You know, you got to be upfront with your bride about like what people really will remember and what they won't. And I guarantee you one little chair out of place is not going to make or break your event. Right. Nobody's going to pay attention to it. So, you know,
and it's not going to happen if I'm not on watch anyways, because that's the stuff I do.
I know, but yeah, you know,
I'm
you got
to annoys me.
It won't get biased either.
You know, you got to be a part-time psychologist. Oh my goodness. Well, that was our hour. Jill, thank you so much.
I love it. Thank you.
You are worth the red lipstick and the curlers today. Thank you so much.
Oh my God. Such a great, awesome. Great conversation. I hope you had a really good time.
Yeah, I did. And if anytime y'all ever need anything, I am a text, phone call away. I would love to do this again.
Oh yeah. Hello.
I know you've got plenty of guests. I'd love to be a regular every now and then. Just
that's a for sure. No. All right. That's a for sure. All right. So thank you everybody for watching Behind the Veil. We'll be back next Tuesday at 2:00. But for the moment, say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.